Well, I'm going to just, I think, conclude this theme that the Lord had given me. I want to share this in this context that, you know, sometimes the Lord works with me this way, not always, but sometimes when I'm waking up out of sleep in the morning, I hear him. I hear his voice. I see something. And so I was sharing this recently that I was waking up and I heard in my heart, he will never forget. He will never forget. And I got excited because I was thinking, you know, at that point, some scripture, and I jotted some things down. And of course, I've shared a few lessons on this. But when I was coming in to the church, I had no idea, because the Lord really didn't present it that way to me. All I heard was, he will never forget. And you can run all, you know, there's scriptures. I'll tell you the one thing he does forget. How many Bible students in here? What does he forget? Thank you very much. That is the one thing he does forget. He forgets our sin. Thank you, Jesus. But he never forgets the blood. He never forgets that we're an heir of him. He never forgets that we're a joint heir. He never forgets that we're in him, in Christ. He never forgets. And you need to remind the devil. So, as I was coming in to service, I was driving down the street, and I saw a sign, because I hadn't been really thinking about this. I was just thinking about the way he presented it to me. And I see this sign, like on a lawn, we will never forget. And I almost drove off the road. I went, oh my gosh, this is the commemoration of 9/11. And I'm sitting there going, wow, man does forget. But all you got to do is change we to he. And we need to put some signs on our lawn. He will never forget. Because he doesn't. He never forgets. And man does, we forget sometimes. And sometimes, you know, not that we don't honor those that gave their lives for that tragic thing that happened in New York City, but over time, man may not forget, but the impact of that may lessen. You know, you get 40, 50 years out, 60 years out, people that didn't even know anything about it, or they're like, so men forget, but God doesn't. He never forgets. Never. Say never forgets. He never forgets. And so he's a faithful God. And so as we're sharing that his thoughts, thank God, are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so he never forgets. And I wanted to just add some thoughts today with that we need to make sure in this season, I've been sharing this along this line, that we need to, in this season that we're living in, with so much, I don't want to use the word craziness, but it is crazy. With all of the things that are going on, with the sin and lawlessness that's going on, that if we're not staying connected with him, you can very easily get caught up in the thinking of the world. And it's ungodly. And we need to have a godly mindset. And it may not be popular, but I'm going to tell you, where we are today, I'm going to just read this in the Passion Translation in Matthew 24, verse 12, 13, and 14, and in the Passion, I love the Passion Translation. It said, there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world. Now look at this. Providing every nation with what? A demonstration. Say demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of the age will arrive. Love, or the lack thereof, the lack of love and operating in the love of God will short-circuit some things. It'll short-circuit the demonstration and power of God. So we need to walk in the love of God with people. And that's going to be a choice on our part. We're going to have to walk in the love of God. We're going to have to stay prayed up. You know, what does it say in Jude? It says, keep yourself what? Keep yourself in the love of God. Let me read this. It says, but ye beloved, Jude 1, 20 and 21, but ye beloved, building up yourselves, what? On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves. That means we're going to have to do something here. Keep yourselves, what? In the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, what are we saying? God will never forget, but we're going to have to keep ourselves in the love of God and the compassion of God for people that don't know better, that are just out there being crazy and don't know better. But they're looking. They're looking for something. And you know, it's interesting, when we were, Minister Phyllis will remember, we were in Pennsylvania. You know, we did a service here so people could express, you know, their thoughts and their heart regarding Pastor Sarah, just private for the church family here. And then we did the same thing the following Sunday in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. And and we had a wonderful service. It was kind of unexpected. The caretakers that were, you know, that lived on that property happened to be at that service. And it was just wonderful. It was a Holy Ghost service. But there were three visitors there. And of course, the church is butted up against our property line, butts up against a gated community of about a couple thousand homes. And this young couple came and they brought their aunt. And they said, you know, we've been driving by this church for years. And today we were just impressed to come here. And they said, you know, we've been visiting churches in the area and we've been doing this for years. So they didn't know anything about the church. They were listening to all the people share their heart about Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. And after the service, this young man said, boy, he said, we're going to come back here. And he said, this is what he said. See, this is what I mean. Love will touch a spirit. I don't care how far you get out there. Your spirit, man, knows the truth. And he said, well, you know, my aunt, we brought her. She's not really a Christian. He said, but when she came on this property, excuse me, She said, there's something about this place that's different. We didn't say anything. Just walking in the building and the property. But what it reminded me of is the limbs who were the caregivers there. We've shared this. Some of you may know it. Some of you may not. They were the caregivers. And it was a Korean church out of Queens, but it's an Assembly of God church. I didn't know it was Assembly of God. Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled. And they said this was their, what did they call it? Hebron camp. And they said this was our prayer camp. And we would come and fast and pray. Just fast and pray. If you don't think God is not going to honor the prayers of those saints, I'm telling you, you need another dip. He will never forget the prayers because they've prayed out in the Holy Ghost mysteries. And when we get together to pray, we're praying out mysteries of God's plan. We might be praying for something 20 years from now, if he tarries. And we're praying out something where God, our prayers are giving God something to move here on the earth. And so if you don't think, and that's why when we read, I'm not going to read it, but when I was reading that, maybe I will read it because it's awesome. But let me just hold this document up and I'll read it because it gives you an idea. I have it right here. I read these, and here's what happened. I hadn't read this before. I have a document with all these prophecies, and I look at them periodically, but I hadn't seen this one. And this was the day before we went up there on the 28th of August. And so I was impressed to read this. It said, "The word of the Lord to Pastors Clinton and Sarah Utterbach." And this was a private prayer meeting or a private meeting of ministers, invited ministers. And it said, "This first gathering of the eagles, this gathering of leaders, is the seal that I have ordained for this facility. Upon this precedent, shall you continue to establish this facility? Because I gave this place to you, I will not have it become common." Oh boy, that was just powerful to me. And then it said, "This is sacred, holy, and ordained grounds. And you have consecrated it tonight because my leaders became subject to my will." So through the years, you know, people had asked things, you know, why can't we do this? Why aren't we doing this up here? And blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And we would just say, we're not witnessing that. And I never saw this. It's not to be used as common. It is sacred, holy, ordained grounds. And God has got something supernaturally planned for that property in the Poconos, and he's got the same thing planned for this church. You know, sometimes we think, well, God forgets. He forgot this. But no, he didn't. He didn't forget. We forgot. And that's why I like to read prophecy to remind us of his will, his intentions. So that we do what? We get in sync with that. We release our words in faith that God is going to do this. Hey, people come and go. But He is going to work with the people he has to work with. That's what he's going to do. And so, you know, Pastor Clinton used to say, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, or he'd say, next. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. Because, and I'm not saying that leaving a church and going somewhere else is wrong. I'm just saying that God may be leading you to go somewhere else. That's all I'm really saying. But we need to hear what he has spoken, what his intentions are for this church. Now, you know, I'm not teaching almost anything I was going, I'm trying to get back to my notes. But I'm going to ask them this, just to set the context for this. I've only played it a couple of times, but I remember it was somewhere around 2010 that I was in my office and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, go pull out the prophecy from Dr. Price. That's all I heard. And I've learned, you know, from the time I missed it that one time, when I hear something, I don't care how minute it is, I'm checking it. You know, sometimes I come back from the village and he'll say, go check this. And I'll go and the lights are left on. I'm not trying to check up on people. It's just that maybe they got busy, they forgot, whatever. And the Holy Ghost is trying to help us. He's just trying to help us. And if you can't learn to obey in the little things, it may be your life the next time and you missed it because you weren't listening to the little stuff. And I've gotten to the place where when I know it's him, I know it. And it just seems like, really? Sometimes I'm coming back from the village or something, and I go, okay, what are we doing now? You know, I want to go home and get a rest. But I'm going to have him play this. In 2010, he said, pull out this prophecy from Dr. Price. And the lady on staff, I asked her to pull it from our archive room and copy it. And so we have it digitally. And this is Dr. Price. And of course, you don't need to go beyond after he shares. I'll give you a little something, something, and you'll know when to cut it because we don't need to do it all. It's about 6 minutes. But I think it'll help us because just like words were spoken over the property in Pennsylvania, there have been words spoken to this church, to Pastor Clinton and Sarah. But we have now a responsibility to carry. We're carriers of that. You know, if God spoke something over your life, you know, you're a carrier of that. So you're carrying, that's why we take the time to play these so you can hear it, because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing not only the word of God, but prophecy. And so that gets inside of you and you go, yeah, we're not going that direction. We're going this direction because God said so. And if you can't be trusted with that, he's not going to give you more. He just won't. So go ahead, guys, and just, and ladies, play that and we'll listen to this.
God, as a wise parent, has to protect his children. See, my son is only 11. He's not ready to drive my car yet. And I have to protect him. I have to keep him from killing himself and destroying the car and perhaps somebody else. Now, someday he'll be ready to drive, and I'll teach him to drive. I taught all my girls to drive. Taught my wife to drive. They're all excellent drivers because I'm an excellent driver. Well, I mean, don't oranges reproduce oranges? I mean, don't apples reproduce apples? I mean, you've never seen an apple produce a lemon, have you? No. So, but I can't trust him now, so I have to protect him. Now, I let him ride in my car, but I can't let him drive it yet. He's not ready yet. He's my child. And he has two automobiles at his disposal. But I can't afford to let him deal with those cars yet because he's not ready, even though he's my child. Are you following me? So God has to protect his children. And there are, the word works. There's no question about that. But God is still behind that word working. And he couldn't afford to let some of you have too many blessings right now. You're not ready. You're not ready. You'd kill yourself and everybody around you. I mean, it would be a disaster going somewhere to happen. Because I know I used to look at myself and I would wonder, Lord, how come you don't let me do this and so? How come you don't let me have such and such? How come I can't get my hands on so and so? And I look back on it now and I see why not. If God had let me come in contact with what I'm in contact with now, 25 years ago, I'd have killed all the sheep. Man, we would have been sacrificing sheep on every mountain. It'd have been a mess. I couldn't handle it. Are you following me? Now, I was ready as far as my willingness was concerned, but I wasn't ready in terms of the qualities that I needed developed in my own personality in order to be entrusted with the kind of responsibility that God has entrusted me with. And it's the same thing here with these pastors in this particular church. I mean, this is tremendous growth from zero to where you are now. And you've only just begun. If you didn't know it, you got five on the floor. Five-speed transmission, stick shift. You are just now topping out of first gear. You're just now ready to put it in second gear. And you still got, after second, three more forward. So you've only just begun. And you might as well get ready for it. I know you like this place. I know you like this mukasita. And I see a number of cosita anzekita esa anso muka. And dile che ne sacala pardosta angita se ne mani chitese e nino sulla mina casta che deno a chapasa cuna si tu lo unoma a de questo dondo con la mastaca dei oh no mo so pochi e to cosa mana le chitasa cadele la foro no masti chite. I know you love this place. I know you thought you have arrived, some of you. You're ready to sit back now and just enjoy things. You're ready to sit back, kick your feet up, and just enjoy the beautiful music and just enjoy the Lord and just praise his name and sing and dance and shout. I know you thought you were going to have a time of relaxation, a time of just sitting back on your laurels, a time of saying, well, praise God, we've come this far by faith and we're just going to sit back now and just float on in and the Lord is going to continue to bring people to us and we're going to continue to minister to the needs of people and they're going to come from far and near and we're going to see people healed and we're going to see people saved and we're going to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see life change and we're just going to sit here in this beautiful sanctuary and enjoy it all. We're building all these buildings around here and getting them all ready and we're just going to sit back and we're going to enjoy ourselves. We've got money in the bank, money's coming in, everything is beautiful. But I have news for you. I'm sorry to inform you that you are not coming to a place of rest, saith the Lord, but you are coming to a place of work, saith the Lord. For the day is far spent, and the night is rapidly approaching, and there are many, many, many to be reached. And this is only a gathering place and a place of preparation. You're going to have to walk out of here and leave. This is not going to be big enough for what I want to do, saith the Lord. Now, if you want to go with me, then you prepare yourselves and let go of all of this. Let it go. I know it's beautiful. I made it beautiful through you. But you better let go of these pews because they're not going to be big enough for what I want to do. And if you want to do what I want you to do, if you're going to continue to follow me as you have followed me up to this point, then you might as well get ready to vacate and put up a sale sign on it because there are too many things I have for you to do, and this place will not contain it.
Selah, as Pastor Clinton used to say. What did the Lord say through him? We're going to have to let go of this place. And so, yes, there were things that Pastor Clinton and Sarah saw but they didn't see the fulfillment of it. And now I'm beginning to understand why things that God has spoken to myself and Pastor Greg, you're beginning to go, okay, what is that? But he speaks through or to whoever's leading at that time. And he may not have revealed, he may have shown Pastor Sarah and Clinton what was the prophecy that Brother Copeland gave. He said it took, in 2003, to Pastor Sarah, he said it took all these years to build the foundation, and you're just now completing it. And he said some foundations take longer than others to build because of what it's going to have to support. Well, that's just exactly, that lines up with this. This place is too small. And yet, from the natural, you look around and you go, sure doesn't look too small to me. You could have a couple of services in here and accommodate 6,000 people. But there's something, just like when God told Noah to build something, he didn't see, he hadn't experienced rain. He could have said, that's the craziest thing I ever built, ever done. But there's something God wants to do with this church, not only in this location, but in Pennsylvania. And we need to take hold of that, follow him, follow his directions, follow his guidance. And I'm telling you, for the last, since I've heard this back in 2010, I call this place sold. Now that may rub your, what do they call it? May rub you a little bit, but it don't rub me because I took hold of that word, that prophecy that was given. I call this property sold for a certain amount of money. And we call it sold, and God had already shown us where the next location is. So I'm not at liberty to share that, but he's already showed us. And I'm telling you, God wants to do what? Reach people. A lot of people. How many were here when Pastor Clinton said he saw, in the spirit, he saw all these people walking up the driveway? Right. He said he saw that. Now, that could have been spiritual. It may not have been this physical driveway. It may have been. I don't know. But God, we're about, there is going to be, we're on the edge of a great outpouring. And God is positioning this ministry and all that's been built. So, you know, we talk about honoring Pastor Clinton and Sarah. I don't want to see some cowboy boot break the sky and hit me upside the head. Pastor Sarah's boot, you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm kidding, but my point is the way you honor is to obey the word that you've been taught. And we are going to honor Clinton and Sarah Utterbach for what they learned through the Hagans and the Copelands. And we are part of that mandate to reach people and to obey the direction he gives this ministry. He didn't just leave us out here wondering, okay, what are we doing now? He's already spoke it. He spoke through Dr. Price in 1990. How many years is that? 32. So 32 years have come and gone, but he's never forgotten. He'll never forget those words, and they still apply. And we can take hold of that. What did he say? You know, when the Holy Ghost speaks something, he knows something that we need to hear. He's not just saying something to be saying something. When he says, you need to let go of these pews, some of us are, ooh, this is my seat. You're going to have to let go of it and walk away from it. He said, if you're going to do what I want to be done, you're going to have to let it go. Hey, we all have precious memories. You know, this will be, you know, I came on staff in 1985. So that's 37 years. We've got a lot of precious memories of here, working, sweating, toiling. But you're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to let it go so God can begin to do what? Work. And you've got to not just let it go in your heart, but you've got to let it go with your words. Oh, I could never leave this place. No, you need to say, I call this place sold. I believe for bigger and better. You know, when we talk about as much as God worked through Pastor Clinton, I'm believing for greater. You know, Brother Hagin said that when he was alive. He said, don't you dare do less than what I accomplished. He said, you need to be stretching out further, doing more, reaching more, and we ought to have the same mindset. No, we're not Clinton and Sarah Otterbach. We don't have the same gifts and talents, but we ought to have the mind and the heart that we're going to reach more people. We're going to do more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm just sharing here some thoughts. I wanted to take that time and, you know, even some of you were here with Brother Copeland when he shared. He basically shared almost the same thing again. You know, and it's interesting, when we did that event, you know, the ladies did a nice job. They had all the flowers and everything looked pretty. And, you know, I've grown up around flowers, so I have an eye for that. So I said, oh, let's get some nice chrysanthemums. Oh, how come they're not budded? They got these little, you can just barely see the bud popping out. But okay, well, we'll go with them. But you see, when Brother Copeland started to prophesy, what did he do? He pulled the bud off and he said, this is what he said. Excuse me. He said, right now, this ministry of this church and its outreaches and all the effect that it's having, not only in this area, but around the world. See, a lot of you don't realize that. It's been around the world. And he said, but because you don't realize, saith the Lord, how many people have come here and have learned what I wanted them to learn, and they have gone out, and they have begun to teach others, and others have begun to teach others, and others have begun to teach others, and others have begun to teach others. God never forgets. He said, but right now the full effect that I have planned for this place, saith the Lord God, is only in that stage. In other words, he pulled off this little bud and it hadn't opened up yet. He said, it's right now in this stage. And he said, it has budded out, and you can tell from the bud and from the color what kind of flower it is. But very soon, it'll look like this. He pulled another bud out, and it had opened up a little more. And he pulled that up and showed it. And he said, just completely budded out with its beautiful little petals, just looking for the face of God. And then it will soon come to place where it looks like that. In other words, there was one bud that was fully open. And he said, the glory of the sun himself shining on and through the faces of the members of this congregation. We're just starting. Not just starting, but it's the building of the ministry house. And he kept saying, what I have planned is too small for this place. It's too small. I know you're thinking, and you go, that doesn't even make any sense. I know it doesn't. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your peanut brain. Lean not to your understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he will, what? Direct your paths. You know, I like what Mark Hankin said. We need less thinkers and more drinkers. We need to drink and stop thinking sometimes, trying to figure it out. So again, just taking the time to share this, he'll never forget. Never forget. His covenant said, his covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. He's not going to change his mind. All of these prophecies, you know, all of them that have been given in some way all dovetail with one another. They're saying similar things. And God is speaking that this place, he's got his hand upon. And he had his hand upon it when he raised it up. How many remember Pastor Clinton and Sarah, or at least Pastor Sarah, saying, "You weren't my first choice"? How many remember her saying that? Yeah, sometimes we forget that. Don't forget it. Because if you don't obey, he'll find somebody else. Because he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to get it done through a people. And if we don't obey, it's just what happened where he said, "You weren't my first choice because there were others that I nudged to do what you're doing and they didn't obey." They didn't obey. And God has positioned this ministry and all it's done in all of these 40 plus years to do something that'll give him glory, to reach people. To reach people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So wherever God has you planted, stay faithful. Don't forget the things that he's spoken to you. Don't forget the things that he's revealed to you, and you stick with it. You stick with it. If he planted you somewhere, then you stay there until God tells you otherwise. Period. Or as they say, period. I mean, sometimes it may pinch, sometimes it may be hard, but through faith and patience, we obtain the promises of God. And sometimes we need to just stick with it. You know, I remember Pastor Tim Rogers, he'll be with us tomorrow from Rhema, Mexico, but he said, a lot of people failed going out on the mission field. He said, the reason I didn't fail is because I just stuck with it. He said, I just stuck with it. There were opportunities to quit, but I just hung in there and stayed steady. And now after all these 20 plus years, they're thriving. And that's the same thing. Just when the pressure's on, that's not the time to quit. That's the time to hold steady and remind the devil that I've been given my charge, I've been given my directions, and you thumb your nose at him. Period. Amen. Glory to God. So God is good. And, you know, if there's anything that I learned being around Pastor Clinton and Sarah was just being steady. Being steady, serve them faithfully, being steady. You know, for all of us, I never asked or thought that I would be doing this, although God revealed some things to me when I was in my 20s and spoke some things to me, and I'm now walking in it. But, you know, you don't have... I just thought, yeah, okay. But I'm walking in some of it now. So all I'm sharing is that when God has revealed something to you, you could be in your 50s, and he may have revealed it to you in your 20s. But all that time is preparation time, because there wasn't time yet. You know, I've shared that with you. When Pastor Clinton passed, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I sent him to train you, not be your friend. So that was their purpose. It wasn't that you weren't friendly or friends, but God's divine purpose was to train us so that we can be carriers of the gospel and be a demonstration of it. That's the purpose. And so we don't take lightly the divine associations and interactions that we've had through the years. It was for training and to develop us. And never forget that. Until he says you're done, you keep doing. You keep doing what God has directed you to do. Amen? Glory to God. God is good. I don't know about you, but I get excited sharing about these things because Brother Hagin shared this once. He said one of the reasons he never put prophecies in the Word of Faith magazine is because he said most times prophecies are not for now. And he said it can get people off. And he had a heart for people, and he said, so I never put it in there because people can read it and go just chase off in a tangent and do things. So he said, most times prophecy is not for now. And he said, the reason sometimes God gives us prophetic words is to keep us steady in times that are rough. You got something to hold on to. That God spoke this to me, I'm holding steady. And he'll never forget, he will bring it to pass. Period. And so that's why, for me, I remind myself and take time sometimes to remind us of the seriousness of God when it comes to these things. He didn't just have somebody, prophesy something just for us to get goosebumps and to get happy. There's a purpose. And it keeps us, it's to keep us steady, show us direction, give us direction, so that in these times that we live in, which are crazy, it keeps us steady so that we can keep on point with his instructions, right, to reach people. Praise God. Father, we thank you for helping us just share some thoughts. And we thank you for divine direction. We thank you for your words spoken to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for you're the one that is the revealer of truth. And we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and it brings understanding to us. So we thank you and we're grateful. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our midst and in the lives of those that are here and the ones that are watching online. We thank you for your divine instructions and directions and that you're reminding us to keep steady in these times that we live in and to be a demonstration of the gospel with power and might. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If there's anybody here, just before we dismiss, if there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, has never asked him to be your personal Savior, most of us have, but if you're here and you've never done that, we are to do what? It says if we what? Confess the Lord Jesus and believe that he raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So if you're here today or you're watching online and you've never done that, you've never made a personal commitment, maybe you believed in Jesus, but just like me, I believed in tithing. I just didn't say nothing. So you can believe in Jesus, but you're going to have to say so. You're going to have to confess with your mouth him. So if you're here today, let's say this. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. I receive him now as my Savior, and I believe that you raised him from the dead, and I thank you that he is now seated in heavenly places, and we are seated there with him. I ask you, Jesus, to change me, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus, and I will serve you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're here today, you said that little simple prayer. You know, it's from the heart that man believeth. Doesn't have to be eloquent, it's just from the heart, from the heart, from the heart, from the heart. I believe that Jesus took my sins, and I believe he paid the price in my place, and that I'm now received him into my life, and he's changed me. How many remember the day they were saved? Boy, I do. Boy, oh boy. It like a fire in my spirit that day. When Pastor John led me to the Lord, I was like, what happened to me? Man. But if you're here today and you ask Jesus into your heart, raise your hand and we'll give you some free information. And if you happen to be watching online, then just get in touch with us and we'll mail you some free information. Glory to God. Well, just before we dismiss, I like to say this. Let's say this. The word that I've heard and believed is working mightily in me. And let's say this. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. You may be dismissed.